Hey, everybody, whether you ride a bike or a bicycle or a motorcycle or a bronc or any other kind of horse or a skateboard. Hey, Eddie Spaghetti, what other kinds of transportations could you ride around and wear your Wrangler jeans looking good?
I take my Razor scooter all around Los Angeles.
Your Razor scooter?
Yeah, I push with my left foot.
Don't they call those things birds?
Well, there's birds, those are like the electric ones, but I get my mini workout by doing the Razor.
Or a bird could ride on your shoulder.
Yeah, and they
Or you could, if you're in Westeros, you could ride on a dragon.
Or an ice dragon, depending on which side of the battle you're on.
Or Tauntauns have been in the news, and if you're in the Star Wars universe, you could ride a Tauntaun. The point is, Wrangler jeans have the look you're looking for and what suits your lifestyle. Classic or modern styles, a range of fits, all price points, vintage re-releases. Wrangler has something for everyone, and everyone does include you. So visit Wrangler.com and check out the selection of jeans, shirts, pants, and outerwear for men and women. I assume dragons, TBD. Wrangler denim, made for the modern world. And with that being said, let's start the show.
Fourth down and goal from just outside the five-yard line. All right, where are you going here?
Well, you got to look at Cook, right? I still like Richard, but if he's not in the slot, then forget him. It's either Cook or Jordy Nelson. There's Jordy Nelson right there inside. There's Cook right there.
Dave Damashek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Ooh, a bitter memory if you were cheering for the visiting team. A glorious one. One of the few for the Oakland Raiders 2018. Many more positive moments expected from Raiders faithful in 2019. Yeah. Let's talk about all of it. Meantime, hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Damashek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are here in Studio 66. We are, as always, presented by Zaxby's Famous Fingers, Wings, and Salads. Oh. And you hear a voice there seated to my immediate left. I think he can weigh in on all things Raiders. He has an ID badge to the Raiders facility, after all. He also happens to be the older brother of one Derek Carr, who, at the time of this recording, figures to be the starting quarterback for the Oakland Raiders. I'm shooting straight with you, friend.
I'm with you.
I don't want any disappointments coming along.
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, it's the same feeling on our side too. Like,
it's eight. It's David Carr. I just wanted to make sure
we
knew that.
Thank you.
Well, is it funny? Is Derek's? Is that intended? I've never thought about it. Is it intended as an homage to you that he wears four?
It's half as good as me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something
I think that's
like
when,
that.
When you look at how it is in Fresno with our numbers up on the stadium, my font is slightly larger and he took half the number. So it's understood that he just wasn't quite there, but we got to put him up there.
Who is for real? I at the Super Bowl, I talked to Deshaun Watson and I legitimately think he didn't like what I said to him. I was jagging around
That's
with
fun,
him.
That's fun, though.
See, you went to Fresno.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that you can rightly claim to be one of the three or four greatest ever in program history.
Yeah, I feel that way.
Who's the best?
I think that...
First of all, who's better among the Carr brothers in Fresno lore?
Well, I think that's the argument. Now, if I'm talking to Derek, we're going to have an argument about who is better and whose teams could beat the other person's team.
I love that conversation.
And we think that we could still play that game. I'm not quite 40, mm-hmm. so I think that I could still get in. If you give me some time, right, I could get back in shape and we play again. But he has Devontae Adams. He has
some
great players on his team that are still playing, like all pro guys. So I would have to really rally the troops.
That's right. Some of my guys
are like, they're getting up there.
He was with Devontae Adams. Let's do that. Did you ever see the old 80s movie with Kurt Russell and Robin Williams, Best of Times?
Do you know where Best of Times was taking place? That's in Bakersfield and Taft. That's my hometown, man.
No way!
Best of Times is, we had that poster up in the quarterback meeting room. Eli Manning bought it for me to put in the room because the Best of Times was right in my backyard. Bakersfield versus Taft.
I like how you worked in that name drop. Very well done there.
I can't just say I bought the poster.
No, but I'm surprised just because of the look of that movie. Anyway, for those who don't know, it was about this these guys who
are... I'm not saying Bakersfield looks great.
They're like late 30s, basically the age you are right now.
Yeah, it's the same idea.
They're supposed to... It's Kurt Russell, Robin Williams, and their high school team still lamenting two decades later. They feel unsatisfied, even though they've gone on to have grown-up lives and everything. Right. They lost the big game against the rival.
Stuff never goes away.
Because Robin Williams dropped the game-winning touchdown pass, so they get the game back on, and you can figure out what happens from there.
Great cinema.
What if we did a variation on that? Fresno v. Fresno, car v. car.
I'd be all for it. I think it'd be glorious.
Oh,
pay-per-view to break the world. It would just be...
I don't know if it would break the world.
Well, I mean, the Central Valley would tune in.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that, so, let's start
there.
Let's keep our eye more closer to home there. So, all right. I love that. And I always say, though, I would never go to... If I were the top tailback in the nation, 17 years of age, I wouldn't go to USC. Uh-huh. Because then I would just be a part of... They get seduced by...
Oh, I'm with that.
The kids 100%. Get seduced by, like, you can be the next great at this position. Like, why do I want to just be among the rest?
Yeah, I want to be honestly, that's why I went to Fresno. Because they were doing something that, like... So Trent Dilfer was the quarterback there when I was in junior high. I spent some time in Fresno. And so I kind of became a fan at that time. But then that was it. Like, they hadn't really done anything special. They beat USC in the Freedom Bowl, like, in 93. But then Pat Hill was all about, let's just do something that no one's ever done. And I'm like, I'm getting recruited by UCLA and Washington. And I'm like, yeah, but I mean, let's do something special in my backyard. And then so Derek kind of followed on. But I'm with that 100%. I tell kids all the time, just go somewhere where there's not a million people that have already done something.
Right, where there's a chance you might get a statue.
Yeah.
In fact, Fresno, if you're listening, you've been remiss. You need to put up. Maybe, how about this? Maybe we don't have to choose a Carr brother. We make one with the two heads of the Carr brother. Did Darren play there as well?
Darren did not play there. I had moved to Houston, and he got offered by the Houston Cougars, so he went there to play where I was in the same city. So otherwise, he would have went to Fresno, but we were all moving, so he was he wanted to come out there with us. But
I didn't know that about you, that you were recruited by UCLA in Washington.
Yeah, I was getting on a plane the next day to go to Washington. Scott Linehan was the offensive, I can't remember if he's the offensive coordinator. I think he was the offensive coordinator there. Mm-hmm. I was on my way to go up there to see Scott when Pat showed up at my door. On a plane back from getting off the job in the NFL with a taped up duffel bag saying, you're going to Fresno. And I'm like, okay, let's go. I'll go to Fresno. And I did.
How great. And was Derek also recruited by the,
Big
Five schools?
Yeah. Well, Derek was, it was more kind of the South. So Nick Saban was at LSU and Derek went to a camp with Nick Saban and he was the MVP of the camp in high school because he was playing in Texas. So he just went over to Louisiana, went to the camp. MVP, LSU offered him and then he went back to California for his senior year of high school, and then he stayed in Fresno. He went to end up going to Fresno.
That is the kind of stuff. I love asking what if about pro football related matters all the time. That would torment me to no end to think if I were Derek Carr, I went to Fresno and was a high second round pick. What would I have won national titles if I wore that purple jersey?
That's why he really wanted to go play for like Alabama, Texas, like LSU. Like that was what he was all about. Cause he played big time high school football in Texas and played against Andrew Luck in the playoffs. I mean, they had some big games, but that was what he was all about. And then we went back and for whatever reason, he played 1 year in Bakersfield at Bakersfield Christian, tore it up, threw like 56 touchdowns, was the private school player of the year. And then Pat didn't even call him. Like Pat Hill didn't even reach out. Like he would come to his games and wouldn't try to recruit him. He just figured he was going to go to Texas or LSU or something. And I remember my dad after one game, he's like, are you going to offer Derek? And he's like, I didn't think I had a chance. And so he's like, why don't you just try it? And so he offered him and he said, I'll go.
That'd be great if Derek said, no, what are you, crazy?
That's what I was hoping he would kind of say that because I didn't want to push him to Fresno. I was like, well, first of all, I don't want you to go there because you're really good.
Right.
And you're probably going to break every record that I even set. So don't go. And he did.
He did. Right?
He did. So I was kind of bummed out about that. But it's fine.
Fascinating. Well, listen, now that we're talking about the Carr siblings, I do really, before we're done, we got to get Derek and Darren and David all together.
I think it would be fantastic.
Let's do that.
It would be amazing.
Derek, though, is busy with his new friend. Every time I look on social media, he's glad-handing, hugging, otherwise, telling AB, like, yo, you ready? You excited? Yeah, I'm excited. You excited? Yep, I'm excited. What's up with that? What was up with that ham-handed?
Look, man, you know AB. He carries a camera crew with him everywhere he goes. He's got to document it all. So, I mean, there's a little bit of showmanship. I mean, for an older brother, I'm pumped the brakes always, right? And I love Antonio so far. He was great. He was came to my nephew's birthday party. He brought a nice birthday cake for him. You know, and he brought
the cake.
He brought a cake. We already had a cake.
I'm but Antonio just saying, I've never heard of the move of bringing another cake to somebody's
birthday
party.
Well, Antonio brought his own food, right? He has a chef or whatever that prepares his meals for his family and everybody, and then he brought a vegan cake for himself and his family. But then he also brought Decker a vegan cake, my nephew, and I mean he's very giving. It was great, but he's got a lot going on. But I mean, and so as an older brother, you kind of like, all right, let's see how this works, because all that really matters is what you do on Sunday, right? Are you going to be that guy? So the only way I can kind of try and quantify like what's going to happen is like, they work so hard. They like, so far they've been together, I don't know, a couple weeks. I say like they've been together like they're dating, but they've thrown the ball together like literally every day. So, and it's March.
Well, that's good.
That's good, right?
Legitimately.
I'm with you. So that's kind of what I look at. I'm like, that's the stuff that really matters. At the end of the day, it really only matters if you guys are on the same page and you're able to go out and perform. You know, that's all I care about.
I the thing that has been kind of underreported, so it makes me question how valid it is. Mm-hmm. For the bulk of Antonio Brown's career, if you watch the All 22, to my relatively novice eye, mm-hmm. it seems like one thing that Antonio Brown was doing when he had to run a route on time and where 7 wanted him to be. But the more I talk to pro football players, the more I have realized that good receivers in most systems, I don't think that the Patriots necessarily have receivers, Randy Moss or Gronk or anyone else, you know, freelancing. Yeah. But I've talked to guys who play with Aaron Rodgers, who play with Roethlisberger and otherwise, that there is some decision-making by a route runner when and the quarterback has to read the same thing.
Absolutely.
And it's understood. But I was hearing that AB was not running consistent routes in 2018.
So Antonio has the blessing and the curse of knowing what's happening on the read from a quarterback's perspective. Steve Smith was like that. I played with Steve in Carolina, and Steve was an extremely talented player that could run every route you wanted him to run better than everybody else. Like, athletically, they can just do things and come out of breaks that most guys can't do that, right? So they already have that going for them, Steve Smith and Antonio Brown. But Antonio does do a lot of things above and beyond the X's and O's, and sometimes when your quarterback's not expecting it, right? So, and he's gotten in, I've heard in the past, and I've seen this happen on tape, where, you know, Ben will say something or Antonio will say something after the game, and there's kind of a miscommunication, when all it really was Antonio knew the route. He knew he wasn't the main guy, but he found his way into the quarterback's vision or into an open area, and maybe Ben wasn't expecting that, because I've seen Ben look his way and not have the route be matched up the way we wanted it to. So he has to go to his next read, and now Antonio breaks it off and goes and makes a big play out of it, or a spectacle where I'm open. Why didn't you throw it to me? But it wasn't necessarily in the normal scheme of X's and O's. So Ben wasn't really, you know, ready for it. But I've also seen Ben make a lot of throws and a lot of touchdown passes off of that same type of stuff. So there's kind of a give and take there, where sometimes they'll do something that you're not expecting them to do, right? And sometimes it works out, and sometimes it looks like Antonio's wide open and we didn't throw it to him. Well, what would happen? Well, he's just being a guy that understands the whole picture, understands where Ben's read is. Like, smart guys like Steve Smith and Antonio, they listen to the quarterback coach and they listen to the offensive coordinator. They know on this play, wait, versus cover two, I'm the third guy? Yeah, that's not going to work. I'm going to find my way into the first spot, right? And so they'll do that a lot. And that's what I pray that they get figured out, you know, like in the off season and in the summertime, and the more they can throw together, the more they'll kind of gain that ability. But Ben and AB had that for a long time. I mean, that's why he had so many touchdowns and big yards, because you can't just line up and run your basic plays every week and just have 1,500 yards and 15
touchdowns.
He did.
I mean, you go back and watch 2017 and what could have been Antonio Brown's MVP season had he not gotten hurt against the Patriots down the stretch. There were a lot of 50-50 balls in critical situations, and he's not Calvin Johnson going up and getting it. It's that he could get to a spot and make the spectacular grab in big spots. So he's clutch as much as a receiver can be clutch, I think, as well.
He's very much so.
Do you feel like, I think the what I'm gleaning from social media is that Ben Roethlisberger's skill, one of his primary skills, maybe the thing that distinguishes him from just about anybody else we've seen in the 21st century, save one or two other guys, is the ability to extend plays and go playground on it. That Antonio Brown understood that. Santonio Holmes, who thrived with Roethlisberger, also did that. The charge against your brother is Derek's not playground guy. He wants to get the ball, make his read, and get rid of it.
No, that's exactly right. I think that's something that they're gonna not have to address, because, you know, making plays outside the X's and O's, Ben is one of the greatest of all time. I mean, when I first saw him play, step on the field, I've talked about this with you before, first saw him in that first preseason game in Pittsburgh, he did that right off the bat, getting off the bus. He's extending plays, keeping guys involved. So he's one of the best ever, right? And Derek's going to, especially in the offense that John Gruden runs, they want to find completions, get the ball out of your hand, complete 70% of the passes, and move on to the next play and utilize a lot of guys. Now, so a lot of that onus is going to have to go to John putting him in the position to be the primary guy. And by all accounts, and what just hearing what Derek's talked about with what their offense is going to look like, Antonio is going to be featured on every play. Like, we're trying to get this player open on every play. Now, it's not necessarily going to work out, but by moving him around and putting him in different positions, you know, hopefully you can get the same amount of yardage, touchdowns that you would get off of running normal plays and then kind of scrambling around making plays. Hopefully you can kind of control it a little bit more. Now, there's still going to be that element that I don't know if Derek and Antonio are going to be as good as Ben 3 or 4 years ago and Antonio. I mean, that was all time stuff. Like you talked about, Antonio was possibly the MVP of the league, right? So that's rare, right? Are they going to do that again? It's going to take John putting him in position to make a ton of plays, and then Derek, yes, extending plays and maybe finding Antonio and maybe having a guy like that, right? You think about what the Raiders had last year. Like, who is their guys that were going to extend, make plays? Jared Cook. It's a tight end, right? And then their running back, Rashard, out of the backfield. He was their second leading receiver. Their third leading receiver was Jordy Nelson. Jordy's not doing that anymore, right? Jordy's no longer even on the team because he can't do that stuff anymore. So maybe you plug in a guy that can do that stuff. You know, my brother was a point guard. He played basketball. He thought he was going to be a Dookie, right? He loves doing that, right? He just hasn't really had the opportunity to do so, maybe with the guys around him.
Boy, we're talking so much Raiders here. Who expected that in late March?
So weird.
But then again, you and I
did mention Duke.
That's true. We could talk about that, but I'm not interested. Yeah, full disclosure.
You don't care.
This year's March Madness.
I'm with you.
I got so swept up in pro football once again that I felt fraudulent trying to turn my eye to college ball.
Pro football's done a good job of keeping our attention.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I've done a good job.
And let's talk about then where last time you sat in this seat, we opened negotiations on Antonio Brown to the Raiders. Now, I feel like, you know, I got to admit it, full disclosure, I thought I was going to be able to get that first round pick. Well, you held firm.
In reality, what really happened is you actually had a good game plan. Mm. You kind of got swooped by.
I saw it because, you said, Jordy Nelson was their best returning receiver,
right?
In early January.
Yeah.
No, assuming Jared Cook was going to go. Sure. That was what they were going to do. They're not going to go into the second season. People said, oh, no, they're just getting ready for Las Vegas. I said, there's no way. That's easy to say in January or February. There's no way that you could be on October 2nd and be like 1-5 as John Gruden and be like, stick with me. How long can you ride that one?
When John Gruden sums up the entire season in one word, as painful, you know that they're going to make some moves to get a guy like Antonio, right? Get Terrell Williams from the Chargers to come. I mean, he's going to acquire some offensive play. Trent Brown. I mean, they weren't messing around. They're like, I am an offensive coach. I'm going to be here for 10. We're going to play offense, right? So if they don't care, like, I guarantee Gruden sitting there saying, we'll score 40. We'll fix the defense in the draft. Maybe they'll be better, maybe not. But we're going to score more points because that's ultimately what he's going to be justified or judged by.
What do you think? Well, first of all, Tyrell Williams. Listen, I've watched him make splashy plays with old man Rivers over the last few years. I feel like how coveted he became in that first week of free agency was a little surprising to me.
Yeah,
because there's nothing to indicate in terms of just raw numbers that he is. He doesn't have to be in that system. He could basically, to make a comp with another team that wears black jerseys, you know, he could be the Juju Smith-Schuster, I guess.
Well, what he does, and I remember having a conversation with Gruden about this last year and talking about bringing players in that fit what what Derek likes to do. Like, quarterbacks all play differently. Ben plays different than Derek. Derek plays different than whoever. But Derek will give big body guys a chance at like 50-50 balls a lot, right? That's why Jared Cook was their main guy. Like, any in crunch time, he was going to Jared because he felt like he had a big catch radius and that's what he could work with. Well, they knew they were going to lose Jared. And they did, and they had to bring another guy in like that. And so that's what Williams is. William, if you look at Williams, his catch in traffic, contested catches, he's up there in the top three as far as being able to bring those balls in. So really, that's it. And the price was what the price was, you know. But that's why he was brought in, to be a guy opposite Antonio that can kind of at least win one-on-ones. And if he doesn't win the one-on-ones, he's going to be a guy that even if it's tight coverage, he's going to make that catch that Derek will throw to him. So I think it's a good move for the Raiders. It makes a lot of sense from just matching players up. But the price was going to be, it just got kind of inflated.
Well, I mean, they also had a garbage. I keep saying this, and not because Darren Carr and your mom follow me on Twitter and see occasionally, right, if I take, you know, some little snarky.
They pay
fun
attention.
It's fun to make.
It's
listen,
conversation at the dinner table.
This guy worked his way out of Pittsburgh. I'm allowed to have some fun at AB's expense. It's not a laughing matter. In the car home, I imagine that these are human beings. Your brother is one of them.
Sure.
And, I mean, I know all this promotional stuff of number four standing next to 84, and these two are going to make magic, yeah, and Derek's our quarterback, says Gruden, and so says Mayock and everything else. And yet, you can't help that if Derek Carr's contract is where it is. He has one more year with the Raiders.
Yeah.
They have 3 first-round draft picks.
Correct.
1 to 10, how nervous is the Carr family that Derek Carr may not stay a Raider through the draft?
Well, I will say that we don't know. Just like everybody else, like, don't let me come in here to your No Jive platform and
thank you for
and
respect.
Say that 100% Derek's going to be the quarterback for that. I don't know. Like, you kidding me? Like, I would have told you that you're crazy if you told me that Khalil Mack wasn't going to be a Raider or Amari Cooper, right? But they're not Raiders anymore. So I think it's very real because Derek sees the same thing. He's a human being. He's like, well, I think we have a good relationship. Like, me and John get along well. They text all the time. Like, they're communicating about all these moves and Terrell Williams. But you don't know. Like, who knows? Like, they're very excited that they have 4 of the top 35 picks. I think that's why you get a lot of the Kyler Murray's coming in, Dwayne Haskins coming in. Like, maybe we can get someone to give us 2 firsts. I don't know. You know, so maybe that's what they're thinking with some of these things, but We don't know, man. I think it would be great. I think that he might have an issue with Antonio if you decide not to, now that they've kind of developed a little bit of, you know, 2 weeks of fun together. But
ooh, you hear that, Gruden and Mayock?
I'm just saying.
Don't make 84 mad.
You said you didn't see any baggage. Just go ahead and make a that's move a like great, that and see what happens.
Look at that. But see, that's being a good big brother. You have juice. You have the key card. You have John Gruden's phone number. But let's be honest, that only goes
card,
so far.
Guess who had the key card before John Gruden?
Is that right?
That's right.
How about that?
That's right, John.
Johnny Come Lately will change his name too. I love that. See, that's great. You know that, yeah, your influence goes only so far.
Yeah.
But the new big-time free agent, if he says,
got some
Derek's now my guy.
Yeah, what am I?
They're going to go against that?
What am I to say on TV with a tie?
How?
But Antonio.
I know you're optimistic, and I know that every football player in all 32 football towns right now think, we could get this thing to a place where maybe we take a Super Bowl run or a playoff run. How reasonable is it that the 2019 Raiders in that division, with the Chargers as good as they were last year, the Chiefs as good as they were, but for obvious reasons, there's a decent chance they may slide back a little bit.
I would agree with that. Yeah. Just as an analyst, I look at the Chiefs and
they've obviously lost some defensive players. Yeah. They may lose another, one of the best pieces there is. How reasonable is it that, how much would you tell Derek, temper your expectations? What if they go, because what I would do is, if I were Gruden and Mayock, I would say, 4 out of 34, all defense. Let's just fix that defense. We just get
high pedigree
defensive guys, and they all go on that side. And then the story becomes, look at what we just did. This is the 2019 class of defense, and it will support us for the next half decade at least.
I think
it'll be a fun story.
I think that's exactly what they're going to do, honestly. And not knowing anything about the draft or what Mayock or Gruden are going to figure out. But if I look at them, the only thing that I see, right, that they didn't have last year, where they filled already. So you had the two tackles that were the issues, right? They were young tackles trying to play against really good pass rushers in that division, and that's just a bad scenario. So you get Trent Brown, you plug him at left tackle. If he's a shadow of what he was in New England, we're going to be good. Okay, then you move Colton Miller over to the right side. Then you have depth at tackle, and you got a young backup that can come in and play either side, right? And then it was explosiveness at the wide receiver position, right? So you lose Jared Cook, you got to make it up. So you make it up with Antonio Brown and Terrell Williams. That's pretty good. So we'll take that. And now I'm just looking at the tight end position, right? Who's going to be the real why? Like, I know Gruden wants a real tight end.
I know you can go T.J. Hawkinson, and that would be...
Yeah, right. That's what I kind of think. Like,
yeah.
But I also think that the defense, man, you gotta fix the defense. And I think that all of those four picks are going to be...
I mean, if you have four picks, and again, maybe you miss on one, but if you get blue chip talent, which is what you're drafting...
They have one pass rusher right now. Right. Arden Key and Mike Mayock coming off the edge right now is what they have in Oakland, right? So we need somebody. You got to have someone over there.
You know, D ain't my thing.
I know. I don't care.
I'm not about that.
I don't care about
that. I'm looking forward to installing a play-action-based offensive system.
In reality, I don't care about defense. We're going to play action pass. Or we're going to.
I want a bad defense. I want it all on me.
You want the ball back.
Right.
Yeah.
They have 52. Now I have to go
at
get
the end of it. All you have to do, what we would spend most of our time on in the defensive practice room or film session in practice field, is red zone. That's it. We would hold people to field goals. You can move all the way down the field. You're going to get in here, and we're going to play good red zone defense, and we're going to hold you to field goals, and we're going to beat you.
David Carr's too much fun. See, we end up talking all Raiders. I wanted to talk to you about my overtime fix. My overtime fix, I'll just tell you what it is now. My overtime fix is a pretty straightforward one.
Okay.
15 minutes. That's it.
Oh, just play to the whistle. Yeah.
I know it's not as exciting. That's it. Then that
solves literally everything.
Not in the playoffs. Now you have to figure that you're going to have. Yeah. But I mean, that system still works. You just have to keep going if it remains tied.
Yeah, right.
But you go 15 minutes.
But who cares, right?
So it doesn't.
Score.
Do you find the fourth quarter not exciting? Do you find the last few minutes of the second quarter not exciting? All right. So that final moment of sudden death, you know, right, in that exciting moment, or you're going to lose that a little bit. But let's be honest, 9 times out of 10 or 8 times out of 10, at least, it's on a field goal anyway.
It really
so
is.
So light now. So who cares?
It's a little anti-climactic.
Want to see the guy kick the ball through the uprights? That's exciting to you?
The more we can keep kickers off the field, the better.
That's
so
the point,
I'm
friend.
With that 100%.
And maybe you also.
I like that, actually.
The other thing I would do, if we're going to be tricking the system up here, instead of that 25 yards, 4 snaps from there like college does, people like that a little bit too much. I find it too gimmicky.
It would be too easy for the NFL guys, I think.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I think it's a guaranteed chip shot field goal for those guys.
I don't think that would be that much fun anyway,
yeah,
to do it that way. Maybe in the overtime. The other thing is, one thing you can't do is kick field goals. You can punt the ball,
fine,
but you can't kick field goals.
Yeah, I'd rather see a touchdown and win the game anyway.
Okay, so we did have that conversation.
Like
last thing, you saw Daniel Jones on Tuesday at his pro day. I know everybody says, you know, including Mike Leach, who's, you know, one of the QB whisperers of the 21st century, give me a QB who has great anticipation and accuracy over the big arm. I don't know. I still like the big arm guy. Come on, you and Derek are the big arm guys,
I love,
right?
I love the big arm guy being one of them. And but I think there's something to be said for putting the ball in the right spot consistently. And like we saw Daniel Jones, his coach comes on, says his main quality is accuracy. And then he goes out on the field and he completes. He was accurate on every throw. Every throw was catchable NFL football. The two drops he had were, I don't know. I mean, that explains his completion percentage, though, if those were the guys that were catching the ball for him at Duke. But, I mean, there's something to that. You got Troy Aikman tweeting about the same thing, right? Like, that's my number one criteria in quarterbacks is where do they put the football? He's even missing, like, the throws that he said he was making to the sideline where he was showing some arm strength, putting a little bit of zip on it. He was talking about how he wanted to miss all of those throws chest level and above. And every one of those throws, 30, 35 yards away, was chest level and above. Every throw. So I'm like, he has a first-round pick, and he can put the ball wherever he wants. He's smart. He's been in a pro-style offense. He's a first-round pick.
It's cuckoo how guys – so he's going to go first, too?
Well, he's a first-round pick. So, like
– I see.
He'll be in the first round, 100%.
The only place I could see that being, though, is the Patriots. Who – like in that window, if you play it out
– I'm with you how it all works out with
Locke's
so many
gonna
defensive
go before
guys.
Daniel Jones.
He is. Because even like – so I text back and forth with a guy that was actually there, a quarterback coach that was actually there. And I'm looking at a guy that is crazy accurate, and all he said was arm strength, and I'm like, You're a quarterback coach in the NFL. You know that accuracy is more important. And you still said,
I don't know. Because I know it doesn't make any sense when we're talking about football. But there's something to the Greg Maddux thing. Pinpoint accuracy has its place. But when you get into the big games.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I feel like you're going against the best talent out there almost always. So you want
to have the fastball. No, that's the
best physical player.
You always want to have that. On tap, ready to go.
Yeah, right.
Like our MVP of the league is a guy that has that on tap whenever he needs it. And, you know,
it doesn't solve everything.
But it does. It covers up a lot of mistakes.
I kind of agree, yeah.
Because you don't have to be perfect. You can just sit back there.
All right, let's round it out here. The Patriots are not playing the season opener. I like the move of Bears-Packers, the oldest rivalry. Yeah. I don't know if it's actually the oldest rivalry.
I was curious how you
thought
about that, but I felt pretty good about it.
I think it's a fun way to start the year. And by the way, they're both relevant teams going into 2019. So that's a nice choice there. Patriots, who should they play? Who's a great matchup for Sunday Night Football debut?
Why wouldn't it be the Chiefs?
Because I think, because I think that...
You want to play the Steelers? You want to play the Steelers?
No, I don't want the Steelers to go in there. That is not the place I want. I hope it's the Browns.
It's probably going to be the Browns. Let's be honest. It's going
to
be
the Browns. The Browns are going to visit there.
12 primetime games.
The Browns have to be in Foxborough at some point this season. Why not put Odell and everybody else up there?
I vote Browns then.
Let's let Freddie Kitchens throw him right into fire. He's in the kitchen. Let's throw him up there. See how he handles the
hide the kicking nets. That's all I'm saying.
See, you're in on this Browns thing, huh?
I'm not. I mean, I'm just saying it's going to go a little sideways in New England if you think you're going to show up there and just.
Next time I want to speak with Derek. I want to speak with Darren. Let's settle all car-related hash. One and two. We got too much to figure out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We got
guys here. We can figure out a lot.
And we do have to figure out how far these Cleveland Browns are going to go. How many wins mean success to Freddie Kitchens in 2019? What
success for Freddie with that staff is 10.
Got to be 10.
Because everybody else is going to say you're crazy. How do you not win 10 games with those guys? So
right,
that's it. Right, that's what I think.
That is what you call the curse of supposed to Freddie Kitchens. You're supposed to win double digit games,
and
you've never coached a game in your life, and you're supposed to win double digits in the NFL with a guy who has a pretty good arm, but he's very accurate, and that's apparently what matters most. Well, anyway, David Carr, I could go on and on with you. You're a swell fella. Man. Best to everybody at the Carr House, and may Derek continue to wear the silver and black if that is his wish with Antonio Brown and all the rest of the guys. Getting excited for the 2019 NFL draft in Nashville, Tennessee. For David Carr, for our pal behind the glass, Hytham, filling in and doing a capable job there. Well, I guess I'm assuming. I'm being
optimistic.
I don't know. Maybe it didn't record at all. I hope you're listening. Wow, maybe it's just the three of us.
That'd be a bummer.
That would be a bummer. Yeah. But anywho, we'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce for you later in the week. In the meantime, for David Carr and Hytham and everybody else here, presented by Zaxby's Famous Fingers, Wings, and Salads. It's been a thin slice of heaven.